The primary season for the remaining Democrats running for president, former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Bernie Sanders, has been upended by the coronavirus. Many states have made the move to delay their primaries because of social distancing and the impact on people who go to the polls to cast ballots. The UCLA Voting Rights Project issued a report earlier this week with recommendations for moving to all mail-in ballots across the country for this November's election. Chad Dunn is the director of litigation for the Voting Rights Project, and he's with me. So, Chad, from your perspective, is moving to mail-in balloting simply the most sensible decision based on the effects we've already seen from the coronavirus?
I don't think that we have any choice at this point. So much of all of our lives have changed in just the last few weeks. People are social distancing in their homes. The economy's going through insufferable changes. Everything that we used to take sort of for granted on a day-to-day basis is all different now, and voting is no different. It too has changed, and the notion that we're going to be able to have elections in the recent future, August or November, where there's not going to be significant pockets, if not the vast majority of voters in Arizona and around the country, practicing social distancing is just not reality. So we have to immediately get to work on making sure our election systems accommodate vote by mail. We cannot cancel democracy. We can't postpone democracy. It's who we are as a country. It's what gives our government legitimacy to make the decisions that it makes. In many cases, it's making life and death decisions even today. And we've got to have the people's instruction on who they want their leadership from.
Now, whether it's an actual problem or not, people do get concerned about voter fraud. How would you make it so that the mail-in ballot is verified and we know that it's accurate, that the person who actually whose name is on it actually did the voting? Is there a signature process like we have now? How deep would you go there?
Well, there's no question that you have to protect against voter fraud. And the reality is that there's a tiny amount of voter fraud compared to the amount of attention it gets. The measures we put into place to combat against voter fraud are solutions in search of a problem. Mm. That said, the public needs to have confidence in the election results. And even folks who would undermine our election that would spin a tale of widespread voter fraud, there need to be protections in place to demonstrate that those tales are exactly that, just tales. So there obviously needs to be some kind of confirmation that people only, vote for themselves, that they only cast one ballot. And there are various measures that states have engaged in to ensure that. One of the more popular methods, as you mentioned, is the signature match method. And there are good ways to do the signature match and poor ways to do the signature match. Professor in Florida, Dan Smith, has done quite a bit of research in organizations in election areas that do signature match. And often they have no standards. It's one employee without any training. And it disproportionately rejects people, that don't have names like Dan Smith. There are various ways to do a signature match process that can be fair for everybody. It involves published standards in advance that the voters made aware of when they make their signature so they can be sure they optimize it. It involves multiple reviews by multiple government officials. It involves notice to the voter when their signature has been rejected, and then a cure process afterwards. That's the way you do a signature match program. But there are other ways that we can do these things. Fingerprints on the ballot. People can elect to put their thumbprint on their ballot. A lot of other countries and organizations do it that way. You can have to provide unique ID numbers or parts of your unique ID numbers that are hard for other people to get on your behalf. There's a menu of verification options that work well in these many other jurisdictions that do this.
Chad, I'm going to be a little sarcastic in how I ask this one. How are members of the media like myself going to get the results as fast as we need them to get them out so everyone knows or at least speculates what's happening on election night? Here in Arizona, for example, a couple of years ago, we had a number of races that were not decided on election night. In fact, reversed. Our U.S. Senate race, Kyrsten Sinema, Martha McSally, ended up with the night of election. McSally was up by a point and a half, and it turned out Sinema ended up winning by a point and a half or two, which we found out about a week or so later, but people will still say, it's election day. I want to know the results. Is this the kind of thing that could slow it down? And does that matter? Should it matter?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, it's easy for me to say this as a lifetime voting rights lawyer, but it always seemed odd to me that we were going to have people get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, go staff polling locations until 7 or 8 p.m., and then have them in charge of tallying the votes until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It always seemed like a method of tabulating the votes that didn't build confidence in the outcome. So is there any question that going to a wide scale vote by mail could delay the results? No. But I also think that the results that you ultimately get voting by mail more completely represent the will of the electorate. But I'll also point out for those folks who need the drama of late night, 2, 3 a.m. election night returns to give them some indication how these things are going, is that some of the states that do this have figured out how to do representative sample tallies so that what they're able to tally that night should, in the vast majority of circumstances, be a scientific representation of the whole. And they can put out a notice of, here's what the tally, we think this is what it is. We've only tabulated, say, 3% of the ballots, but we think this is what it is and what it will be. And ultimately, when they count them all, there will be a few races that change, but the vast majority of them, you'd have some indication on election night.
What do you think it will actually take for something like this to go forward? Is it something where people are so much more conscious of being near people, of being able to still carry out democracy, as you said, without having to worry about whether someone's coughing or sneezing on them? Is this, frankly, the perfect storm for something like this to finally occur?
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because the story of American democracy and the extension of the right to vote to adult citizens is a story of crisis. Obviously, African Americans didn't begin to receive the right to vote until in the aftermath of the Civil War. It was after World War II that various jurisdictions stopped charging the poll tax to return servicemen and women who had fought for their country and were now being required to pay poll taxes. It was Vietnam was the era in which we started to discover that individual voting jurisdictions had erected all these obstacles to the franchise and court started to do away with those. So the history of America is, in times of crisis, we double down on democracy. And so I'm hopeful that's what will happen here, that people that were in their corners before will give a new thought to this. But the other thing is, necessity is the mother of invention. The reality is, in jurisdictions that do not move by vote by mail, will no longer be a democracy. So we don't really have a choice. We don't have any alternatives. And so I think at the end of the day, it's like the president said when the Senate was fiddling around with this latest bill, this rescue bill that Congress passed, they don't really have a choice. They had to pass that bill. And as Americans, we don't really have a choice. At least for the foreseeable future, we're going to have to vote by mail. We've got to get to work putting it in place.
All right, that is Chad Dunn. He's director of litigation for the UCLA Voting Rights Project. We've been talking about policy recommendations for implementing universal vote by mail. Chad, great conversation. I appreciate it.
Thank you.